And does dry?
Yeah, I got tidied up. If you don't recognise me. Alright, do we have some screen? If I press a button, fantastic. I can't see my own screen. How are people going? Good to see you. It's a bit warmer than it was at the 8 a.m. And if you are here for the first time, I'm Andrew. They call me the youth minister. And something like that. Very excited to come back up here. All right. We've been going through the Lord's Prayer, as Brian already mentioned, and we've reached the final of the six petitions, or the final half of the final petition. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. So let me start in prayer, and we'll get into it. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you that you have brought each and every one of us here today. I thank you for this word, this message that you're bringing before us. Prepare our hearts to hear what you have to say so that we can live the life you would have us live, which is so much more pleasing than what anything this world can offer. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. There is no wonder why we cry out to God, deliver us from evil. We live in a world of evil. Germany is on high alert after a 17-year-old shot dead 15 people at a school. One man was killed as rival soccer fans swinging metal pipes and throwing rocks clashed today. 14 others were injured. Madoff, 71, is due to be sentenced next week in a New York federal court. The former investor who was accused of perpetrating a US $50 billion fraud could face up to 150 years in prison. Man charged with stabbing murder after the discovery of a body in a Pennant Hills home. With hundreds of thousands of tourists expected in South Africa for the 2010 World Cup, a new debate has erupted over legalising prostitution in a country with the world's largest AIDS epidemic. I'm a skeptic when it comes to news reports, but it is not hard to imagine that things like this happened and that discussions like this occur. Murder, fighting, fraud, prostitution, we cannot condone. Although, I would hope that there are people who are here today sitting in this church who have committed such offences. If you are, you are in the right place to begin the healing process, to be delivered from evil. But more on that later. The list of evils continue. In Romans 1:28-30, it says, they, that is, the people who have rejected God, have become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, and depravity. Times don't change, do they? They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, and malice. They are gossips, slanderers, God-haters, insolent, arrogant, and boastful. They invent ways of doing evil. They disobey their parents. They are senseless, faithless, heartless, ruthless. There is no wonder why we cry out to God, deliver us from evil. How should we respond to the evil that surrounds us? What about tolerance? A very popular word buzzing around the secular world today. Unfortunately, a fundamental flaw with tolerance is that it accepts the good with the bad, the good with the evil, the righteous with the unrighteous. You can't have salt water and fresh water flowing in the same spring. It sounds loving. Tolerate people. And we know we are called to love our neighbour, but in reality, it is more often not loving. Allowing someone to continue their evil behaviour is leaving them open to harming themselves. That's not loving. Letting your friends get smashed, get drunk on the weekend without showing disapproval, leaves your friends open to further harm. That's not loving. That's tolerating. Tolerance is not the answer. So how else can we respond to this evil that surrounds us? Maybe education. I remember I was really excited a few weeks ago in a study. I worked out the solution to world poverty. Education. We just got to educate these people so they can then develop businesses and economies. They can take care of themselves. A fundamental flaw with education is that evil people continue to practice evil, but better or worse, depending on how you look at it. We invent, they may just learn to invent more ways of doing evil. Why did we invent the internet? For good or evil? With education also comes technological advances. Our weaponry has become so advanced that we can blow up entire cities with one atomic bomb. And so the saying, I don't know what World War III will be fought with, but World War IV will be fought with sticks and stones. Education, although it has significant benefits, it is not the definitive answer. These two worldly responses to evil have some value, but they fall short, and tolerance falls significantly short. If not tolerance or education, what is a godly response to evil? Here's one. Justice. Administering deserved punishment or reward. God in Amos 5:15 said, hate evil. Don't tolerate it. Hate it. Hate evil. Love good. Maintain justice in the courts. Proverbs 21:15. When justice is done, it brings joy to God's people, to the righteous, and terror to evildoers. Psalm 89:14. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of God's throne. We cannot tolerate wickedness, and it is dangerous to educate people to invent ways of being wicked. If men are not punished for their evil deeds, if there are no consequences for doing wrong, then we will continue to do evil, harming ourselves and the people around us. Now, you may have noticed a problem with this solution. It is easy to point the finger at the adulterer, the murderer, at the referee for making the wrong call, at that goalkeeper who pushed me over when I was about to score a couple of weeks ago when we lost a game. 2-1. Should have been 2-0. But of course, if we desire justice of others, we must accept justice upon ourselves for the wrong we do, for the wrong we have committed. Do we have sound?
I don't know.
Who's seen Spider-Man 3? A few people, yeah? there was Spider-Man 1 and 2 where the villains were surrounding him. It was around him. But then Spider-Man 3, it kind of changes a little bit. The greatest battle lies within. How long can any man fight the darkness before he finds it in himself? Peter Parker, the Spider-Man character, is living the great life by the third movie. The city is safe, he has the girl of his dreams, and fans are fanatical about him. Everything seems okay on the surface, but another, much more subtle and sinister villain has now awakened. Not in dark alleyways prowling without, but lurking within. And Peter is consumed by a villain so elusive that he is in denial of his existence. Anyone seeing a mirror? Yet that villain is himself and his evil heart that has been amplified by a black suit. Sadly, the world, this world of evil doesn't just surround us, it is within us. And Jesus made this clear in Mark 7, 20-23. He says, what comes out of a man makes him unclean. For from within, out of men's hearts, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, folly. All these evils come from inside and make a man unclean. So how do we respond to the evil within us? Do we reject justice and go for tolerance now? Tolerate me and my evil. It's tempting. Then we can just continue on being evil. Or do we live by survival of the fittest or survival of the smartest and continue to educate ourselves? Maybe not. This is what the Bible says. Confess and repent. Having the strength to confess is real strength, real power. Fighting the evils around us has some value, but fighting the evil within us has greater value. Say to God, I admit I have ignored you, confess, but I now turn to you, repent. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He, God, is faithful and just, and He will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. And I found James 5:16 a great challenge. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. Matthew 4:17, when Jesus began to preach, he said, repent. His first word, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. Ezekiel 18:32, repent and live. In other words, don't repent and die. Confess and repent. Admit your fault. Turn to God. What evils do you need to confess and repent of? Now let's get specific. The Lord's Prayer has broad petitions that reach a large audience, in fact, the entire world. Deliver us from evil is another very broad petition. But what does it mean for you? What specific evils do you need to be delivered from? What do you need to cry out for deliverance from? Dear God, as you go home and kneel before your bed tonight, dear God, deliver me from the lust of my eyes, maybe. Seeking satisfaction in material things that I see and want. Seeking satisfaction in the curves of a nice body rather than the devotion of a good heart. Dear God, deliver me from, what is it for you? Envy, maybe. If only I was as confident as that parent. If only I was as good looking as her. Well, for me, it would be a guy, but... Bit confused there for a second. Deliver me from the love of money. I need just another dollar. Or, I'm comfortable. I don't need God. Deliver me from hypocrisy. Deliver me from pride. What prayer of deliverance do you need to cry out to God? I encourage you to think of that as you go to bed each night. Confession is so important in the healing process, and yet we are so resistant to it. We want to be healed, and yet we rebel against the idea. Just like our parents, Adam and Eve, when they sinned, they tried to hide from God, even though it was impossible to hide from God. And when they were found out, they tried to pass the blame, even though God knew they did the wrong thing. And I think kids are a pretty classic example of this. Little Miss Naughty is mean to her brother. She tries to hide from Dad, even though her bedroom isn't such a good hiding spot. Dad finds Little Miss Naughty and she says, "I didn't do anything, it wasn't me." Even though Dad could hear her say the mean things to her brother. As adults, we're no different. We just educate ourselves to be a bit more sly. We say it's the government's fault. It's the local council's fault. It's because of my wife, my husband, because of my children, because of the dog, the cat. We pass the blame and we try to hide from God. Everything in our life, everything we've said, done, thought, is laid bare before God. We may as well repent now and receive forgiveness rather than be found out later and receive punishment. Hebrews 4:13. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. Good news is, we will receive justice at the hands of God for the evil surrounding us. Bad news is, we will receive justice from the hands of God for the evil within us. Unless we confess our evil. It is good to administer justice for the evil surrounding us. It is good to confess to God for the evil within us. But then what happens? Have I made amends for my sin? No, we haven't. We know it is Jesus who makes amends for our sin, or atonement. And so the gospel in a nutshell. Jesus, who is God, came to earth as a human. He died paying the punishment for our sin. He rose from the dead to be our living king. He thus became the first of all of us who will also rise even though we die. That is, all of us who confess and repent of our evil. We will therefore live in perfect relationships with each other, love your neighbor, and with God, love God with all your heart, without the corruptive nature of evil. That's the world we long for. That's the world we desire. And without that moment in history, we will be fighting a losing battle with evil. It'd be like, without Jesus' death and resurrection, it's just not worth it. It's like fighting AIDS. Once you have it, you can't be cured of it. You'll be defeated in the end. It's like, does anyone remember my Hyundai XL? It's like my Hyundai XL versus, what's the fastest car you've ever driven, Michael? Most powerful car? SS Holden. Like my Hyundai XL versus Michael and an SS Holden. It's a losing battle. We know who's going to win. The Hyundai XL. Or keeping your room tidy. Or keeping the living room tidy when you have little kids. A losing battle. Without this moment in history where Jesus died and rose from the grave, fighting sin would be a losing battle. But because of Jesus' death and resurrection, the battle against evil is worth it. It is worth it. Knowing that Jesus is victorious means we have hope against evil. Hope in godly living. We will still fall into sin, but we won't be defeated by it. What a gospel story. So let's continue with the battle with the principle from Romans, from the passage we read today. I have already mentioned justice and confession as a good response to evil from God's word, but here's a more down-to-earth phrase found in 12:21. Overcome evil with good. We should overcome evil with good, otherwise it will continue to entangle us and drag us down. To repay evil with evil is to become the very person you are trying to crush. Just imagine Spider-Man trying to crush himself. What a struggle. Let's overcome evil with good. And here's an example. Slander. A false or malicious statement about someone. Someone has made a false or malicious statement about yourself, whether to your face or through other people, which was intended to hurt you and defame you. You then, feeling very frustrated and angered, you then rectify the situation by the most natural means possible, because natural is always better. Retaliation. Have you heard that so-and-so did such and such? How could they? Well, again, we've educated ourselves, haven't we? In reality, we're usually a bit more subtle than that. We get the truth and just bend it a little bit. And we try to sneak it out there a few times, disperse it amongst different people in the congregation. And then, you know, two or three witnesses, it must be true. So-and-so is like this. Slander, deceit, repaying evil for evil. So how could we overcome this evil with good instead of going with our natural inclination? Here's where the rubber hits the road, and I see it in classrooms so often when this debate starts between one kid and another kid, and they each one wants the last word to supposedly have the upper ground. We need people who will stand up and just cop it between the eyes and not retaliate. We need people to stand up, receive the slander, go back to that person who hurt you and say, "I forgive you." In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. In other words, they won't expect you to be nice. And in reality, they don't want you to be nice. They want the fight. We actually enjoy the fight. And they will feel ashamed and maybe turn back to God. Don't forgive them to make them feel bad. Forgive them to make them feel bad so they can turn back to God. Yes. This is just one example of responding to the evil surrounding us, but there are many more that we can think about in our lives. We ultimately look forward to a world without evil, a world where we do not need to suffer injustice, whether the little small injustices every day or great evils that are around us. A world in which we never need to hide our shame or pass the blame because of the evil within us. In this life, in this world of evil, we'll be continued to be entangled by it. But be reassured for the life to come. And we get a glimpse of that life, that heaven, not the secular heaven, the real heaven, a world without evil in Revelation 21:4. He, God, will wipe away every tear. That's impossible. How could you do that? Every tear. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. Or Paul had this hope in 2 Timothy 4:18. The Lord will rescue me from every evil attack. How? And will bring me safely to his heavenly home, his heavenly kingdom. And from passages like Romans 8:18 and 2 Corinthians 4:17, we learn that our momentary suffering in this world from the evil surrounding us and the wrestle with the evil within us. Who's felt that sting, that frustration with that evil inside of us? You just cannot defeat it. That's the point. You cannot defeat it. Jesus' death and resurrection is what defeats it. Fighting that evil within us, that evil around us in this world, in this momentary suffering, does not compare to the everlasting joy of being with our Maker in our heavenly home. Seek justice, honor confession, overcome evil with good, knowing that one day we'll be in heaven and evil will be no more. Amen.